And good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. We're joined now by Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series driver Ryan Blaney. Not only is he the driver of the iconic number 21 Motorcraft Quick Lane Tire Auto Center Ford for Wood Brothers Racing, he's a man of many talents. You can hear him every week on his popular podcast, The Glass Case of Emotion, and on Monday, July 10th, you can watch him compete on NBC's American Ninja Warrior. That's going to be cool. But Ryan, before we talk about glass cases and ninjas, let's talk about Kentucky Speedway, where you have two NASCAR Xfinity Series wins. How excited are you to get back to the Bluegrass State this weekend, where you'll be pulling double duty in the Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series?
Nice to get back to a racetrack and where we've been fairly successful at in the Xfinity car, and I think our Cup cars have actually been really good there too. We haven't really got the great finishes that I feel like we should have gotten there, but no, I'm excited to get back. I've always enjoyed the racetrack and the atmosphere around it, and the repave of that place, what they did last year. I think hopefully it'll start to widen out, and we'll be able to have multiple grooves there like it used to be. But it's gonna be nice to try to get there and just have a solid run, rebound from Daytona last week, getting caught up in one of the many wrecks there late in the race. So just try to put a solid race together and try to build some momentum before the playoffs start here in a little bit.
Good deal. Well, let's open the floor up for questions.
Okay, and our first question comes from Goodwin Kelly from News Journal. You may now state your question.
Hey, Ryan, I'm here in Daytona Beach, saw all the races and stuff. How deflating is it to have a really good car and then get involved in one of those crazy crashes?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's deflating. It's just something that happens. It's obviously a little disappointing at the time, but, you know, that's kind of the sometimes the outcome of speedway racing, and I think you just got to look at the positives of it. And know that we had a fast car, and that's something to look forward to when we go to Talladega here for the playoffs in a few months. But, it's obviously a little bit disappointing, but, you know, that's just sometimes how those races go. It's part luck and part skill as far as luck missing all the wrecks that happened. And there were a bunch of them Saturday night, and we missed most of them. Just didn't miss the last one, unfortunately. But, we just got to take the positives out of that and not dwell on it too long. You know, you just have to kind of move forward and you look forward to the next race as soon as you can.
Okay, and then a follow-up to that would be you've got a win now. You're in the playoff. Are you concentrated on, like, the stage points at this point?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're really doing anything different from what we have done all year. Even before we got the win, you go out and you try to win stages and win races just like before and just do what we all have been doing all year. And I think we've done a pretty decent job at it. I know we've won a few stages and won a race. You're just trying to kind of keep building your playoff status and, try to cushion everything from each round. That just carries over. So we really haven't changed anything. You just go try to win races and stages and we're out front like we've been trying to do all year.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Mark Story of the Lexington Herald. You may now state your question.
Hey, Ryan. There's obviously been a lot of talk, this year about kind of the changing of the guard in the Cup Series with some of the guys who are retiring and have retired and some of the exciting, younger drivers who've come into the series. As one of those younger drivers, do you feel a responsibility, sort of picking up the mantle for the sport? And do you guys talk about that at all among yourselves?
It's neat to be a part of that younger group. That's just nice to kind of be part of the club, really. And there's a lot of great young race car drivers that are coming up from Chase and Larson and Eric Jones and Suarez. They're doing a great job, and it's just nice to be in that group. And in the past few years, a lot of drivers have retired who have been big for the sport, from Tony and Jeff and with Dale Jr. retiring this year, you know, it's definitely going to be some change for sure. And, you know, I would hope those fans, you know, still enjoy the sports and, you know, want to pick new drivers. But, you know, I don't really feel like there's any pressure to, you know, kind of take their spots. You know, I don't think, you know, we're never going to be a Tony or a Jeff or a Dale Jr. You know, we can be our own people, and hopefully the fans enjoy that. You know, but we don't really talk about it. I just feel like we just go try to do our job, and hopefully the fans enjoy what we do, whether it's on the track or off the track, and become interested. But like I said, I think it's a pretty neat time for the sport right now, with a lot of young drivers coming in, with a lot of great drivers who have been around the sport for a long time who are still winning races and competing highly. And it's a pretty neat combination. And I think that's exciting for the fans, exciting for the sport in general. And like I said before a couple times, it's just nice to be a part of it. And hopefully we can help grow it and be part of it for a long time.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Jordan Bianchi of SB Nation. Please state your question.
Hi, Ryan. We've heard Roger recently talk about how he thinks about bringing you in-house and adding a third car to the Penske operation. Where are those discussions at with you, and what are your intentions to race next year, and what team?
You know, I don't really think about that stuff. You know, there's been talks about it for years, really ever since I got with the Penske group, and things just haven't really come together. And, you know, I love the Wood Brothers, and driving for them has been really special for me and my family. I couldn't ask for a greater group of people, but, you know, the things I'm mostly concentrated on now is trying to win race 100 for the Wood Brothers. That's something I would really like to achieve. And I think we can do it. I believe we can really do that. So, the discussions, you know, with what Roger says, yeah, that's been trying to go on since 2012, ever since I got over there. And, you know, we're just trying to build up that. And I don't really know what's going to happen. No, I'm going to be happy wherever I end up, whether it's the Wood Brothers or Penske or whatever. You know, I'm really happy with the Ford camp and that family. So we'll see where everything goes. But, you know, I'm more of kind of a here and now kind of guy, and we're trying to win Kentucky is my main priority, and we'll go try to do that. But I'm sure, you know, we'll figure something out here soon. But as of right now, I'm in just driving the 21 car this year, and I'm pretty happy to be where I'm at.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press *1. Our next question comes from Dustin Long of NBC Sports.
Thank you. Ryan had a couple questions. I know that the Lou Blaney Memorial is Saturday night. And I know you've got a tattoo of his car and his number on your chest. And I was just curious about, one, why you did that and how long ago that was. And if you can kind of talk about, I guess the relationship you had with your grandfather, because obviously you never got to see him race, but obviously there's quite an impact for he's had on you for you to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lou Blaney Memorial is Saturday night, and my dad racetrack up in Sharon Speedway that he's owned for quite some time. And, you know, that's a pretty special night. It's unfortunate I can't make it out there. That's always a pretty cool night. They have a bunch of drivers out, and it's always nice to kind of meet everybody from that area, and where they talk about my dad when he was racing up there, just getting started, or my grandpa when he was racing, you know, back in the, you know, 70s. Or really all the way up, you know, to the early 2000s. I would like to go that night. But, yeah, the tattoo of him, I got a couple for him. And you know, the first one I got was, I think, in 2014, just his number on my chest, just something to remember him by. And then last year I got that one a little bit lower on my ribs and stomach. That was a picture of his car from 1970. And it was in black and white, and I figured out all the colors, and a good friend of mine did it for me. But I, you know, I didn't know my grandfather that well. You know, he passed away in in 2009. And you know, I wasn't old enough and to really understand, you know, what he did you know, how long he was around the sport. And that's why I like going up to Ohio, is to hear all the stories about him and, you know, where he used to race and all these races he won. And he was actually got sick even, you know, years before he passed away. And I never really got a huge chance to even talk to him then. But, you know, he's the one who really started the whole racing deal in the Blaney family. He got my dad and uncle in it, which, you know, ultimately got me into racing. So, you know, I feel like tattoos are something to have meaning, a close meaning. And family to me is, you know, I think the biggest meaning in life. And, you know, something to remember of you know, someone who kind of started this whole thing. And I think that was appropriate. But it's, you know, pretty, I get a lot of questions about that stuff. But, no, that's nice to, the Lubelani, nice Saturday nights. And, you know, shame I can't be there. But, yeah, he's, from what I know, he's a great person, a good pioneer for dirt racing. And you know, he's the one who started it all. So I thought that was appropriate to get.
And I also wanted to ask just briefly, is just, you know, talking about the dirt racing, and obviously you know that well with your family's history and your dad. When you look at somebody like Kyle Larson, again, and he's not doing it every night, but to have success, and he's doing it, he's done it against the Outlaws, the All-Stars, and the Posse. Maybe for somebody who has maybe a little bit better perspective of things, how do you view what Kyle's been able to do in the last month, just even on sprint car?
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely insane what he can do behind the wheel of any race car, and his versatility to go from cup car, Xfinity car to dirt sprint car racing. And he does maybe 10 to 15 sprint car races a year. And I think he's won 6 in a row now, sprint car races, from Outlaws to All-Stars to Posse stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable. I think that he's just a super talented race car driver who can jump in anything and go fast and win. And, you know, I feel like the people who race dirt growing up, you know, he would run hundreds of races a year before he got on the NASCAR side. And that's just, you know, you talk about seat time. That's the ultimate seat time right there, is you see people running double duty. Well, you know, that's that helps them for a reason, and running hundreds of races definitely helps you too. But no, it's unbelievable what he's been able to do. He's, you know, probably one of the best race car drivers out there right now in the world. And no, I don't know anybody who can jump back and forth between series like that, or different forms of racing, and go win. That's unheard of. So it's really impressive what he's been able to do in the last month alone. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Robert Jirogi from BRD Broadcasting. You may now state your question.
Thank you. You know, Ryan, when you won your first NASCAR race at Pocono, you had to do some great driving on that last couple of laps, you know, passing cars, looking in your rearview mirror. Fans have asked me, and they've wondered, how much does that really eat you up inside? I mean, you know, I know the driving eats you up, but something like that on the last laps, how does it eat you up?
It really doesn't eat me up at all. You know, people were always asking, I get asked a lot of questions about how nervous were you or things like that. And to be honest with you, you're not really nervous. You're just trying to do whatever it takes to try to stay in front of that car and do the best you can to not make a mistake, and really just been doing what you have been all day, and just trying to run smooth laps. And, you know, you can't, you know, you don't want to look out the mirror very much, but you do every straight away you get, just to see if you got a little bit better corner off of that person, or maybe they got off the corner a little bit better than you, so you could change up something. But you just try to stay as calm as you can and don't really not get too rattled. I feel like once that happens, your mind kind of isn't in the right place, and then you start making mistakes. So you just try to do the best you can. And my team did a good job of kind of reminding me of that and making sure you worry about, you know, what's in front of you rather than behind you.
Well, congratulations. Keep up the good work, and good luck at Kentucky and the rest of the season.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'll now turn the floor over to Matt Humphrey.
Ryan, before we close today, I know your fans are eagerly awaiting the next episode of The Glass Case of Emotion. When can we expect that, and B, what are you guys going to talk about?
Yeah, it's been really neat to have that podcast and it take off like it has. I meet fans every single weekend, more and more that are listening to it and becoming fans, and that's really cool. You know, we have fans for driving cars, but when it's something away from racing and it's just a podcast where we talk about silly things, that's pretty special. It makes you feel good, too, that they listen to things that they don't have to. They don't have to go out of their way and listen to, you know, the nonsense you talk about every week, but they do. That makes you feel really good, so I can't thank NASCAR enough for letting us do that, and it's been a lot of fun this year to do with, you know, Kim Kuhn and Chuck Busch, but I'm actually going to – we're recording one in about 45 minutes, and we'll put it out today. So we usually record on, like, a Tuesday and then put it out Wednesday, but you know, with yesterday being the 4th, that couldn't happen. But, yeah, we'll have one out today. And there's some things we'll talk about. We'll talk about Daytona stuff, and then you know, we have some more things to talk about. I can't give everything away right now, but I'm sure we'll find some nonsense to – argue about. So
outstanding. Well, thanks, Ryan, for taking the time to join us today. Just a reminder that the media transcript of this teleconference will be available later today, along with all the audio files. All of that can be accessed at nascarmedia.com. As a reminder, all three national series are in action this weekend at Kentucky Speedway. The NASCAR Camping World Truck Series will start things off Thursday night with the Buckle Up in Your Truck 225. It airs live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on FS1, MRN, and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. The ALSCO 300 NASCAR Xfinity Series race, which Ryan will be in, will be live at 8 p.m. Eastern Time Friday on NBCSN, the Performance Racing Network, and Sirius XM. And the stars of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series will take center stage at 7:30 Eastern Time Saturday night for the Quaker State 400. Catch all of that action live on NBCSN, PRN, and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90. Have a great weekend, all, and look forward to talking to you all soon. Thank you now.